Okay, so let me just pray for us real quick. Lord, we just come before you, Father, and we thank you, God. We thank you that you are our great God, Lord, and that we have you, Lord, to speak to us and to teach us and to change us, God. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon this place, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon our minds and our heart, God, and that you would speak, God, and that you would just do a mighty work in each of us this morning, God. So we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray. So I am teaching on the God that is able. And when Denise called me and asked me if I could teach, I told her that I had already told God, because I never know like when they're going to ask me to teach or not to teach, but I had already been praying, okay, God, if you want me to teach, then they'll ask me and I'll be ready. And so when she asked me, I'm like, yep. And so from that moment, I just started praying and asking God what he would have me to teach. And I did like Margie did. I didn't look at the study all week this week. I just looked in there to look at the names of God and just the definition that was in the book. And it's pretty amazing because last Wednesday I went for a walk, and I usually walk with one of my friends in the morning. And sometimes when God gives me a message, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and he did wake me up in the middle of the night and showed me that he wanted me to teach on control. And I'm like, okay, God. And then Wednesday, I went for a walk with my friend. Well, I was supposed to go for a walk with my friend, but she bailed out on me. And I'm like, okay. So I just went for a walk anyways. And as I was walking, God just gave me this message. I put my phone right here in my bra. I know you're not supposed to, but I did. And I just started recording what God was putting into my mind. So that's how this message came. And I hope that, I know it's blessed me just thinking about all this stuff, and I hope that you're blessed too. So like I said, I am going to be teaching on just the control that we have as women. I believe that sense of wanting to control things comes all the way from the Garden of Eden with Eve and just all of that. And then also of unrepented sin, and then just sin that is in our lives. I was having a conversation with my son. He's amazing. His name is Ezekiel. He's 17. And I was just telling him, as I was thinking about this, I was telling him, like, isn't it crazy how, like, we just go through so much stuff? Like, I'm like, as a mom, like, I'm preparing you for this, or I'm doing this, I'm doing all of these things. But at the end of the day, we really don't have very much control of any situation and the outcome of a situation. But I feel that it's in our nature to want to control things. And then many times in our lives, like I said, we want to control every situation. We want to control our husbands. We want to control our children. We want to control our friends and situations that are happening with our friends. We want to control who our kids play with and our children's schooling and everything. At our job, we might want to try to control our job, our boss. Even though we have a boss that's over us, we want to control him too. And I think that being in control and having things in order is good, but it could also not be so good. God has placed each of us in certain situations for certain reasons. You are married to the husband that God intended for you to be with for God's purpose. It's his purpose that you're with that man. Our children are the children that God intended us for them. We're the parents of the children that God intended us to have. Sometimes, instead of letting God work, we can get in the way by being so controlling. I know that for myself. While I was doing this, my friend came over for my birthday and she brought me a gift. And my son and I just went halves on a really nice coffee maker that he wanted. I didn't want it, but he wanted it. And we went halves on it. And my friend was there. And he came out to the living room and he's like, Myra, can I make you a coffee? And she's like, sure. And I step in. I'm like, okay, we'll do this. Put this much sugar, put this. And she's like, leave him alone. Let him make the coffee. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay, God, I don't want to control everything. But I think that we can get in the way sometimes of God accomplishing his will in the people around us. I can jump in. I know when I was married, there was many times when I jumped in to try to tell my husband how to do something. I jump in all the time and try to tell my kids. I do that with my friends, and I'm just like, I know that we can never stop the work of God because he is so powerful and we can never stop it, but we can maybe hinder the way that God wants to work in a certain person. And so we don't want to do that. We all have our calling that God has for us to walk in. Being a wife is a calling. Being a mother is a calling. Being a friend is a high calling too. And how do we represent the Lord? As an employee or as a neighbor, how do people see us? I think that that's very important when we call ourselves Christians. How are people looking at us and how are we representing God? In each of these callings, God always has something for us to do. And it is good to do the things that honor God. I love that God has things for us to do. I just love that so much because I wouldn't know what to do if God didn't tell me what to do. But I have a question for us. And my question is, what happens when we are doing what God has called us to do? What happens when we raise our children in the Lord and we bring them to church and we teach them the scriptures and we pray over them and our children walk away from God? What happens when we submit to our husband, we are kind to him and loving to him and take care of him, and you are just trying to be the best wife that you can possibly be, but your husband is not very kind and you can possibly even feel unloved by him? And what happens when you're the best employee at work and you're working so hard and a promotion comes along and it's given to someone else? You can feel unappreciated. And what happens when we do all the right things and the outcomes are not what we expected? How can that leave us? How can we feel? And many times we are left feeling disappointed. We are left feeling angry. We are left feeling discouraged and sometimes full of anxiety. And even sometimes we can really feel that God is not with us, that God is not for us, and that God is not in control of our lives, and that God is not able to do what he wants to do in us. It could feel like we could have put our trust in God and that maybe God has even failed us. But that is the wrong answer, because we know that God is good, and everything that God does, everything that God allows in our life is good. I will come back to this control thing in a second. The other thing that God really wanted, that I feel that God really wanted me to share, was on sin. If we have a sin that we are committing, if it's something that we just are committing against ourselves and no one else really knows about this sin, we have to remember that God knows the sin. And it could be just a sin of having a terrible attitude to the people that we love. And that, for me, that really convicts me. I shared with the ladies last night that my biggest struggle in my life is raising my children, because sometimes they don't listen to me and they could be mean to me and yell at me. And I'm just like, I feel that sometimes it's the people that are closest to us that are within our walls. And I was talking to my kids, like, there's really no barrier between my child and myself. They see me all the time. They know who I am. And sometimes it's easy to hurt and to the people that are the closest to us. So for me, like, pray for me. It's hard because I don't have, there isn't a father in our home, and I'm trying and trying, and it's just sometimes it's overwhelming. So that is the biggest place where I just feel conviction for myself, and the biggest place that I ask the Lord to help me. When we are in sin, we can be in one of two places. The first place that we can be in a state where we see our sin or struggle that we are in and we hate it, but we don't know how to change. And I feel that this is really good. It's really good. I know that I've had things in my life that I did and that nobody else, not even my kids, that nobody else knew about. And I knew that it was not pleasing to the Lord. And I would pray and I'd tell God, Lord, please help me. I need you to help me. I'm not able to change this thing about me. And I think that it's good. And it's good to look at our sin and it's good to hate it. But there's also other times where, it says that sometimes it's so discouraging because we think that we can never overcome the sin or struggle. Like I said, we have been living with this sin for so long and we think that we will never change. Whatever it may be, it could be anger, it could be unforgiveness, it could be unthankfulness, jealousy, bitterness, whatever it is for you, you know it and God knows that you hate the sin in your life. And it could be discouraging because you're trusting God best that you can, and you're trying to do all the right things. You're coming to church, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you are asking God to change you, but still, change hasn't come. And I think that those things of going to church and reading our Bible and praying are all the right things to do, but I also think that it has to go a little deeper than that. Or maybe the other thing that that we could be going through with sin is that we could have some kind of sin or some way about us that we make excuses for. We think like, oh, it's just a little thing. It doesn't really matter. It's not affecting anyone. And even though we know that we are wrong, we overlook it. And I think that this thinking that it's not okay is a lie from the pit of hell. Because all sin affects us. It affects us and it affects the people that are around us. We know that God is holy and that there's no darkness in him. And we are supposed to try and follow the Lord and be like the Lord and be holy. We are called to be holy vessels. And I love that that is our calling, to be holy vessels. And I love that God sets a high standard for us. God's standard for us is not low. It's high, and it could seem overwhelming and seem like it's too high, but it's good. Just like for my children, I don't want my children to do bad work. I want them to do good things. I want them to do good, and I just don't want us to be overwhelmed by the pressure of being 100% holy all the time, because we're not going to. But we do want to be holy so that God could use us for his good and for his purpose. And sometimes it's hard to look at ourselves. I know sometimes it's hard to look at me and I'm like, ew, that doesn't look so pretty, Josefina. But I just encourage all of us in this room to really examine ourselves and to see if there's any wicked way in us and to ask God, is there something, Lord, that you want to change in me? I'm reading this book. It's called, it's really small and it's a really great book. I encourage you ladies to read it, but it's called Killing Sin, Conquer the One Thing That Is Defeating You by Carl Clausen. And he poses a question in his book, but he asks, what is the one thing that needs to change in your life so that you can see more spiritual victory and receive God's blessing? And I think that that is a great question that we should not just ask ourselves today or tomorrow, but that's a question that we should probably ask ourselves for the rest of our life. Because on this side of heaven, we're never going to reach 100% sanctification. That is our goal, but we're never going to reach it. And there's, once we overcome a certain struggle or a certain sin, there's always more. There's always more work that God wants to do in us. So God is so good that He reveals these things to us. And when God reveals these things to us, we must listen. We must humbly agree with God when we are in sin or walking contrary to His ways. I think that's huge, because I know for me, it's like sometimes it's like we just want our way, and just humility is so important. And so for those two things, I was asking God all these questions. I'm like, okay, God, like, how do I stop controlling, and how can I get rid of these secret sins, and how can I get rid of these other sins that are just there and I know about it? And I think that it's hard to overcome certain things that we have done for so long. And I, like I said, this sanctification, God wants 100% sanctification, and God wants complete holiness. Like, that's the bar. He wants complete holiness. And this, like I said, will not happen on this side of heaven, and that's okay. But we are called to fight the good fight. Every single day, it's a fight. Every single day, it's a battle. And I encourage you, ladies, to fight for yourself. Fight for your children. Fight for your marriages. Fight for your coworkers and for your neighbors. And even for the stranger on the street that you pass on the street. Like, when I walk, like, I say hi to everyone. And I just always do, because I just think that's what Jesus would do. Jesus would tell them hi. And we could pray for just people that we don't even know. But we fight to be holy. And looking at the names of God is a great way to help us when we are trying to achieve this holiness and trying to overcome these things. So I'm just going to read the names very badly. I'm going to read them very badly that are in the book of God. The first one is Rab Koach, which means mighty power. And I love that, because God is full of power. The next one is Yahweh Bore, and it means Lord, Creator. And I love that everywhere I go, I can see God as Creator. The next one is El Ose Fela, and it means the God who works wonders, and God works so many wonders. Yahweh Rafe is the Lord Healer. El Shaddai means God Almighty. We can be a vessel that is usable by the Lord, and that is our desire. Our desire should be to be changing in little like God every day. And that, like I said, can feel overwhelming. But how can we master sin and control in any other issue that is meant to destroy us? I think that the key to change is being so close to God. It's easy to read our Bibles and to pray and to go to church, almost like it's a checkoff list. Like, I did that. I believe that it has to be so much more than that. We must be undone with who we are. We must look at God for who He is. And we must be living according to His will and being filled with His Holy Spirit. Every single day, we should wake up thirsting for Him. We should desire to be like Him. And that's not something that we can do on our own. This is abnormal for us, because we are in this body of sin and we need the Holy Spirit to come. And when I was on my walk last week, God just showed me this picture of a caterpillar. So I'm just going to talk about a caterpillar. So we look at this caterpillar, and every day the caterpillar gets up. He doesn't really know why or what's going to happen, but he keeps eating. He works hard to find leaves to feast on. And we should be like that caterpillar. We don't know what our day will hold. We make plans, but only God knows the outcome of our day. But we can feast on God. We can feast on his word. There's one interesting thing that as I was researching caterpillars, one interesting thing that a fun fact about caterpillars is that there are some caterpillars, I don't think they're very cute. I think they're kind of ugly, but there are some caterpillars that have wings. When they're a caterpillar, they have wings. They're invisible to see to us, but they have wings that are already there before even going into the cocoon. And I think that that's so interesting because, like, God has made that caterpillar and it's already ready to become a butterfly before he even realizes that he's going to become a butterfly. So, like I said, we feast on God's word. And when we are faced with who he is, I know that something transformative happens to us when we believe that God is all we need. Something amazing happens to us. All the caterpillar knows to do is to eat leaves. Whether we realize it or not, all we have is God. At the end of the day, all we have is God. We have his word. And we have a specific time that we pray. We have a specific time that we read our Bible. And I encourage you in every aspect of your life, whether you're in sin, whether you're in trial, whether you are having health issues, or if you just have this sadness about you, or even if everything's just fine, there's nothing wrong right now, I encourage you to consume God the way that the caterpillar consumes those leaves. The caterpillar doesn't know that he's going to become something beautiful. And I'm sure that he doesn't even know that he's going to be transformed. I want that transformation for each of us in this room. I want that transformation for myself. And I encourage you to consume God in a way that you never have before. Wake up in the morning and seek God. While you're going to take a shower and get ready for your day, seek God. When you wake up, I told the ladies last night that I have a friend that wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning and makes lunch and breakfast for her husband. When you wake up and serve your husband, seek God. When you have all these mundane tasks around you, seek God. Seek God every single day, every single minute of your life, seek God. And I was asking myself, like, how do I seek God? For me, I seek God. I always have worship music on in my home all the time. And sometimes I just catch myself just worshiping the Lord. I take time to pray. I take time to be in his word. I look at my children and I marvel at God's creation. And one of the greatest ways that in doing this study that God has really challenged me is to seek God in my thought life. God is so close to us and so near us all the time. And sometimes I just catch myself just talking to me, but I'm training myself to talk to God, to seek God in that way. While I was washing dishes this morning and I was talking to God. I mean, God is always there, and we can train ourselves to seek him in everything, in the good times, in our hard times, in times of sin, or in times of great despair. Seek him. God says that he is close. He is near to the brokenhearted. True transformation can only come when we have not just crossed off our list of holy things that we think we should do. But it comes when we humbly come to God and humble ourselves before him. In the book that I was telling you guys about, ladies about, Clausen says that humility is where power begins. And I feel like I love that because God cannot work if our hearts are not soft. And he won't work. He can work, but he won't work when our hearts are so hard. But I love that. Humility is where power begins. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Come to God. Be desperate for God. Be desperate for Him to be with you. Real change comes when we have come to the end of ourselves, where we have come to the end of complacency, where we have come to the end of our sin, to the end of feeling sorry for ourselves. I lived like that for a while, just feeling sorry for myself because this thing happened to me and that thing happened to me and poor Josefina. And I'm like, no more. I'm not feeling sorry for myself anymore. And to the end of being unthankful, I think that being unthankful, we are so blessed and that we have so much to be thankful for. And so many times we just take everything for granted and God has blessed us so much. I know that God can be seen, every single day in every part of your life with your children, with your husband, at work, and when you're around strangers. God is there and God wants to be known by you. God wants to give you the power to change. When looking back at the caterpillar, I don't know if that caterpillar even knows that he's going to become a beautiful butterfly. And looking at ourselves, we don't always know. We don't always have enough faith to believe that God is able to change us. When the caterpillar is inside the cocoon, he's already prepared himself to be there. He's eaten his leaves. He's done what he has done. And I think that it's important to point out that the caterpillar just didn't eat leaves for 15 minutes a day or eat leaves for 10 minutes a day. He ate leaves day in, day out, day by day. And when he comes into the cocoon, he meets God there. God does something amazing and God transforms him. God takes him from an ugly little caterpillar and transforms him into a beautiful butterfly. And I believe that that's what God wants to do with us. God wants to transform us from these little ugly worms. Sorry, ladies. But he wants to take us from these little ugly worms and he wants us to feast on him every minute of the day. And I think that it's hard to feast on God every minute of the day. And it could even feel like it's impossible. But I don't think it's impossible. I think that it's having a self-discipline. It's something that we have to train ourselves to do. It's something where, like I said before, I would just talk to myself. But now I'm talking to God. Seeking God does not come natural to us all the time, especially if we have been hurt. We come natural to ourselves. Our flesh comes natural. The things of the world come natural to us. Before us, but for us as Christian women, we must know that we are called to be different. We are called to be set apart. We have a power, and it's not our power. It is the power of God. The Holy Spirit that is within us gives us the power. He is the power. He gives us the power to feast on the Lord. When we do feast on God, God does the work. The worm inside the chrysalis doesn't do anything. He's just there. He's resting. He's done his work. And he comes out as a beautiful butterfly. And I feel that for us too, that we are to prepare ourselves. Like I said, if you're in a time where you are not having any trials, we are to prepare ourselves by feasting on God for those trials because they will come. When we have given up on our resources and completely given everything up to God, God is able to work on our behalf. He is able to transform us. He's able to fill us with faith. He's able to take away any sin that has held you captive and that has crippled you. He is so powerful. I love that God has delivered me from so many things that the enemy has used to try to destroy me. And God wants us to be free from all of those things. I pray for us this morning that we would not leave this place the same way that we came in, that we would not be satisfied to live complacent lives. I pray that we would be undone with our sin, and that we would be undone with unthankfulness, that we would be undone by just being mediocre. God does not do mediocre things. He does beautiful things. You are beautiful to God. You are a beautiful saint in God's eyes, and He wants to transform you. He is the only one that is able to do this work, and He wants to be the one that you depend on. I pray that you will allow Him to help you. I pray that you will realize how much you need Him. We don't have to have the control to change the things that are around us. We don't have the power to tame our children. We don't have the power to respect our husbands as we should. We don't have the power to change our friends. And we don't have any power outside of the Lord. But we do have the Holy Spirit. He is an unstoppable force. This Holy Spirit power is unknown to the world. And I feel like, I don't know, the Holy Spirit in us, and people see God working in us, dumbfounds the world sometimes. I love that the Holy Spirit is gentle, and I love that He's fierce in a good way, and that He is full of righteousness. He is in absolute control of your life. He has allowed every trial in your life. Everything in God's hands has a purpose. Everything that He has allowed in your life has a purpose, and the purpose is for Him. Whether we like what God has allowed in our lives or whether we don't like it, we are His, and He is still in control. We have been bought by a price, and we have to allow the Lord to do what He will do in us. I feel that it's foolish for us to know that we have this powerful God that created us, that created the universe, and that can do anything He wants. I think that it's foolish to try to take that control and do it on our own. And it's foolish for us to continue in sin when He is our answer. He is the one that can change us. We are not on our own. God is with you. When you are going through sickness, God is with you. And when you are having problems with your health, God is with you. You're not alone. God has allowed this sickness and this trial for His glory. He is going to do something amazing in you and for those around you. We have to trust Him. We have to trust that He is God and that He is able to do the impossible. God is able to take an ugly little worm and turn it into probably one of the most, God's creation is so beautiful, but butterflies are so beautiful. So I say to you guys, ladies, fly, soar, be used by God. The assassination of Charlie Kirk for me has lit a fire in me, because here is this man that just went places where he was hated. He actually reminds me of Jesus. He went to the people that hated him. He spoke about the Lord, and he was killed for doing the Lord's work. And for me, God has just shown me so many things through Him in so many ways that He has wanted me to change. I feel that we have been lazy about our Father's business. I have been lazy about my Father's business. We have been so consumed with our own lives that we have forgotten the lost and the dying world. I have begun to pray. I pray that God will do something amazing in each one of you. I am praying for a revival inside of the house of the Lord amongst God's people. I pray that there would be a revival outside of the church and that many would come to know Him. I really pray that the Lord would come back soon. And I pray that when we are about His business, that we look for opportunities to honor God. What does Jesus want us to do? And that's a question that each of us need to ask ourselves. What would you have me to do, Lord? What? There's always something that God wants for us. Sometimes we think that we had to make these great gestures to make a huge impact. But I think that small things matter. Small little things when you're there taking care of your husband. It's small, huge to your husband. When I'm there taking care of my children and they're yelling at me, I'm like, ooh, that's a small thing, but it's a huge thing. Small things matter. Picking up after your children, picking up after your husband, calling a friend that has been unkind to you, reaching out. Those are little small things. They're not going to change the world, but they are going to change the world around you, and they are going to change the people around you. What we do every single day to honor God matters. From the time that we wake up to the time that we go to bed, honoring God and seeking God will bring change. Like I said, how we treat our husband and our children and our coworkers and the lady at the store. I have friends at the store. They all know me. They all know my children. I go to the same store for years just so that I can know people. And how we help the homeless people. All of those things, as we honor God, will bring change. I think that when we put God in his rightful place in our life, change comes. When we walk with God, seeking him day by day, minute by minute, like I said, that is a discipline for us to seek him. God will show you what he will want you to do. God will show you the things that he does not want in your life. God will show you the person that he wants you to be. It is never us. It is always him. He is the one that is able. It's a dying to ourselves. We die to ourselves. We live for God. We seek God. Not seeking him just part-time, but with our whole being, with all of our time. Sometimes this is hard because our flesh is always wanting what it wants. But we must pray and admit that we need God and we need him to help us to be different. We have to desire change. And I think that that's a prayer in itself, that desire of the Lord to ask. You know, I think that there are times when if I'm being honest, that I'm not seeking God and I'm not desiring God. But that's a prayer for me to ask, Lord, help me to desire you. Help me to seek you. Help me to want you. I pray that God would change each of us, and God wants to use each of us little by little, day by day. And so I encourage you, ladies, to practice love, to practice joy, to practice peace, practice kindness, practice gentleness, practice self-control. And I implore you to practice all of these things. Seek the Lord with your whole heart, all day, every day. Look for God by his name everywhere that you may be. And I love looking at the names of God, because sometimes we think that God is afar off and that he is somewhere. But no, God is everywhere. He is everywhere that you are. I look at my children's face. I'll tell you guys a funny story. I look at my children's face. I have my four children, and my oldest son. I look at them and I see God. I look at them and I'm like, wow, Lord, look at these beautiful children that you have blessed me with. And I look at their face almost every time when they're talking to me. I just look at their face, and my son Jordan, he catches me. He's like, Mom, why are you staring at me? But when I'm staring at him, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, man, Lord, look at this amazing man that you have created. Look at these amazing children. I look at my little baby's face. I'm like, wow, Lord, you are amazing. We can see God everywhere. He is not hard to find. If we want to see him, the Lord says, I will be found by you. When you seek with me, you will find me. So I'm going to read just the definition of the names of God for this week. I'm not going to say the real names. I'm just going to say the definitions. That mighty power. Look for God. Look for God's mighty power. Lord Creator. We see that everywhere. I see that right here in this room, you beautiful ladies that God has created. The God who works wonders. God is always, always working wonders. He is always doing things that are so impossible. I was thinking that when my husband left, it was such a sad, lonely place for me to be in. My children had to go for visitations on Friday afternoons, and Friday afternoons was the loneliest afternoon for me. I would sit in my house. No one was there but me. And I'm like, wow, this is lonely. And my friend Maria told me, Josefina, look it. God's taking care of you. You don't have to be alone anymore. He's giving you a baby. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, God, that is amazing. God works wonders. God's not going to give each of you guys a baby, but God is going to work something miraculous for you. Look for God. Look for God who works wonders. Look for God who is our healer. If any of you guys are sick, God is with you. He's going to heal you and he's going to get you through this. Look for El Shaddai, our God Almighty. He's there. And I just pray that you guys would just look at these names that we study every week and look for him, and you will find him. Let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you are so wonderful and that you are so amazing, God, and that you love us so much, God. We are nothing, God. Aside from you, we are nothing, Lord. And I just pray for each of these women, Lord, like we talked about the caterpillar, God, that you would do something amazing in each of us, God, and that you would transform us and that you would change us, Lord, and that we would be holy vessels, Lord, holy vessels that you could use, God. Give us a purpose, Lord. Show us what you want us to do. Send us where you want us and help us, Lord. Help us to be dependent on you and to be dependent on your Holy Spirit, God. We love you so much, God. We are so blessed and we are just in such a great place, Lord, because we are under you, Father, and we just love you so much. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.